paper?
No.
Nope. Oh,
nope.
Okay,
now here's the answer. Paper. Everybody listen to the answer.
Oh, here's how you remember. Think of a rock as a chocolate chip cookie.
Okay.
Now, you have the chocolate chip cookie in your hand, but it's not all the same stuff. It's a lot of different kinds of things, right?
Like
you've got flour,
salt.
And salt, and butter,
salt.
And eggs, and chocolate chips,
brown sugar.
And nuts.
Nuh-uh.
So it's mixed of different ingredients.
It's all chocolate. These things mixed together. Now, the minerals that go into make this rock, they're like the ingredients in there, okay? The chocolate chips, the eggs.
I love
now
that.
You can have the chocolate chips and the flour all by themselves, right?
But those would taste very good.
Because it makes my wife really mad when I just eat up all the chocolate chips before she makes them into cookies.
I like
now there's three different kinds of rocks.
Crystals.
No, crystals isn't one of them.
Diamonds.
No.
Slate.
Quartz.
No.
No. No. You listening? There will be a test later.
You hear that? Test.
Are
get scared.
Would I lie to you?
Yes.
You just met me and you're already disparaging my character.
I'm just kidding.
Yes, pepper spray.
In fact, I will have you note something. This gentleman is carrying not only a firearm, but mace.
All right, Scouts, let's go.
Where's the taser?
Are you a rowdy bunch?
No.
You haven't noticed?
Wait, some of them.
Now, we talked about the difference between rocks and minerals, mm-hmm. how you can find a mineral.
Mm-hmm.
Well, right here, this is a mineral that I have in my hand. It's a very important one. Very good. What do we use coal for nowadays?
A train.
Well, we use
power plants.
Power plants, that's right. We still use coal for electricity. And coal is a mineral that's it's mostly carbon. And it forms right there. On this swamp right behind
us.
Yep, that's some right there. Now, we'll leave them. You don't want to, guys, don't pick them up because your hands will get all black. They'll get all over the minivan. This forms on the bottom of swamps just like that. If you guys get too rowdy and I tie bricks to your feet and put you in the swamp later, if I come back in 10 or 20 million years, then you'll be coal too.
Really?
Yep.
That might be Uncle Person.
It could be some really rowdy Cub Scouts from the Pleistocene age. Come on, fellas. We're done with the coal. Leave them there. We're going on to the next one. Remember what we talked about earlier about sedimentary rocks, how they're formed in what? Layers?
Layers.
Here you go. Here is lots of different layers of, actually, three different kinds of sedimentary rocks here.
Granite, slate.
No?
Listen to the ranger, guys.
Granite
his
is an igneous rock.
Give them your attention just like you do your teachers at school.
It even looks kind of sandy.
Yeah.
That is sandstone.
That's what makes the Arches an Arches National Park.
Very good. Now, what shale is important for, or at least it used to be important for, you guys don't have it anymore. Slate is a metamorphic rock that's formed from shale. Now, when I went to school, when Mr. Tarnow went to school, that's what blackboards were made out of.
Yeah.
But now you guys probably all have dry erase boards.
Yeah. Chalkboard.
Except for in music.
Is music kind of behind the times?
Yeah, they have green chalkboards.
Green?
It gives me shivers every time I use the chalk.
Oh.
I hate that.
Oh. Here 300 years ago, you would know all about flint because you wouldn't have metal.
Fire.
You would have flint for tools. If you needed to go hunt an animal to eat, you would need flint because you were going to need to make a spearhead or an arrowhead. So you would be all over flint. In fact, that flint up there is one of the reasons why humans first came to this area. This was a suburb 10,000 years ago. Have you guys ever been to Cahokia Mounds?
Yes.
Okay. Well, over here was one of their suburbs where they made arrowheads and spearheads and all kinds of tools from the flint deposits around here.
That's quite a hike.
Well, they didn't walk. They had the river, a natural highway to take it back.
Mr. Tour Guide Person, when the river is right here, and then the
there?
Yeah.
What's that made out of?
Concrete.
Where does concrete come from besides in a bag from the hardware store? Look down.
Concrete.
You see those white rocks?
Gravel.
See that limestone that we were talking about earlier? Well, you take the limestone,
and
you grind it up, you mix it with some sand and some gravel and some water,
and then you have
concrete. In fact, we are about to walk into an old concrete plant that's here just because we had the limestone, there's the river has gravel and sand, and we're going to walk down and see where all these piles of this stuff used to be.
Can I make a little bit of concrete?
I don't know, can you?
Yeah.
Now, may you? No.
Hey, stop shuffling your feet. Some county worker on the county tax payroll has to drag that stuff out here and spread it around.
No, that's all right. I'll just call you guys for a community service project. Now, I know it's not much to look at, but this used to be the concrete plant. A lot of the concrete that was used in the St. Louis area in the 40s and 50s came from here. So, if you've got an old house...
We do. We have a 100-year-old house.
Same here.
Might have come from here. There's several different ways mountains are formed. Do you know one?
One is that the ocean formed a mountain. The ocean formed a mountain.
Anyone want to take a different stab?
Oh, yeah, God.
Oh, it's like a crust's open and molten rock flies out through it and then what?
There you go. That's a good one. It's formed from volcanic activity. Now, there's one more way. Any ideas? Did you play in the poison ivy and stinging nettle?
They build one.
No. Build a mountain?
Definitely.
I guess you could. Over there? Yeah. See those big hills? Those started off as flat ground.
What's erosion?
What?
Oh,
erosion is when the
wind
and the water
make things go
wear
away.
Things away. That was flat ground up there, and this river right here carved this valley. We're almost done.
Yeah.
Hold up.
You said we could go to the river.
You've been right by the river.
But you were too busy playing with rocks, and you didn't see it.
I saw it. Oh. I thought he meant, like, go right up next to it.
That's as close as I'm going to let you guys go.
Why?
Oh, Ranger Dolph, let me tell you. They're being unusually attentive today.
Are they?
Oh, yeah. This is a really good day.
What?
Well, we need to talk about a couple of other things. Bye.
Gold!
Hey, Tommy.
It's gold.
No, it's
metal.
It's golden.
It's gold.
It's all gold.
Oh, I can't fool you. You see how it forms little squares there? You see there's lots of little squares around there?
Yep.
Gold doesn't form that naturally.
Why?
I don't know. That's just how it works out. But fool's
gold
does. This is something called crinoid stone.
Oh, yeah.
This is actually the state fossil of Missouri.
What is this?
Don't open it, though. That's an ancient animal that kind of looked like a lily.
Well, that's the end of the scout program. I'll spare you the walk back to the cars.
You're welcome, guys. Bye, guys.
Well, good luck. I hope you got something.
Oh, I got some good stuff there.
Anna, pull out the baby wipes. Thanks again.
You're welcome.
See you around.
Good day. Now you've seen the scout program. Okay, that deserves hazard pay. No great imparting of information, but it keeps them amused for sure. Now that should give you lots of insight into the ranger job. 462. 10-8.
35. And what did he have to pay for that?
$5 a head.
Are they going to get a badge?
That's the Weeblos Geologist badge.
On the way back to Susan Park, Sean and I philosophized about the relationship between the Parks Department and the Slaga Geocaching Group.
You know, I think it's worked pretty well. able to work with an organization that kind of police helps us kind of keep everything on the up and up. That way everybody's happy. You know, there's lots of caches to go and find, but we don't have to worry that stuff's where it shouldn't be, or we have all kinds of other problems to deal with, luckily.
Right.
Not you guys.
Wasn't,
you know, it's a good, healthy activity that kind of stuff that Park should be about.
Trail Watch. Are you involved in that as well?
We call it Neighborhood Watch for the trails. And what it is people sign up to, when they're going to be walking or riding normally, that they help us out by calling stuff in that they may see. And what we have them do is they go through a little training camp class to know what to look for, things they might encounter, what to do if they do encounter them. And it just kind of helps us keep an eye on things, because we obviously, there's 6 or 7 rangers on at a time, 70 parks, and we can't be everywhere. So they kind of help us out with reporting things. And then it also helps us from a public service standpoint, that they all are identifiable. They have like vests or shirts and badges, little ID badges, and say that they're with Trail Watch. So if the public has a question or a concern or something, they can see these people, and they're usually, a lot of times, they're more accessible than us. They may just see the ranger go drive by, or they may not even see the ranger, but they may see the Trail Watch volunteer.
Usually don't make a move until somebody from the dispatcher tells you what to do, or can you just, if it's a slow day, go off and do something, you know, check out a few places here and there?
Oh yeah, that's about 95% of what we do, is just, you know, go check out this, go see what's going on there, just kind of move around, keeping an eye on things.
If you don't have a geocaching.com account, when new one comes out, you should check them out.
Yeah, I just kind of go see where it is so that I know if, what's that guy doing over there?
Have there been any that you've had to question and say this is in a sensitive area and needs to go?
Not lately. Although there is one at King Park on Dielman. I mean, I guess it's okay that it's there. It's not a very good neighborhood. In fact, there's a lot of problems in the neighborhood. There's an English guy that's in Slaga. He put it there. I met him at one of the winter events. Like, oh, you put the one in King. Oh, yeah, is that a problem? Well, I guess it's not a problem. It's on Dielman Road between Olivet and Overland in an unincorporated pocket called Elmwood Heights. When did you put that there? Oh, it was in February. Oh, okay. Was there anybody around? Oh, no. It's like, did you notice the gang graffiti on the picnic tables? I wouldn't know what that is. It's all right, like, in the morning, in the middle of the day, because there's a big state office building right there, and, like, the state workers come and eat their lunch. But, you know, from mid-afternoon on, it can be problems.
When we arrive at Susan Park, there's a party in one of the shelters that Sean was not anticipating.
What the heck?
A lot of people down there. All different colored shirts. There's some pink shirts and some blue shirts.
I guess I'll ask. Hey, ladies, what's going on down there? For what school?
Assumption.
Oh, okay. All right. They didn't tell me no one was coming. Thanks. 462 rolling plate.
Go ahead.
Susan 387 John. George King, 07.
387, John George King, 2007 issue on a 99-4 4 North.
Oh, well. They're leaving. I guess that's good. These guys got all excited to see me.
These guys here?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
It just makes you wonder when their jaw drops open, their eyes get real big. Do we need to talk? Looks like we may need to talk.
Well, I appreciate you putting up with me.
If you need something else, let me know.
All right, good. Appreciate it, Paul.
Thanks again.
See ya.
Yeah.
This concludes the Slaga Podcast. For more information about the Slaga Group and geocaching in the St. Louis, Missouri area, go to www.geostl.com. Here's wishing you a strong signal and a trusty bearing.